of a life that's poured out, or a blessing for those that are given to the Lord 100%. But you know what the ultimate blessing of a life poured out is? Heaven. Somebody say heaven. Wow. Reminds me of a story. Who's going to be at the gates of heaven? St. Peter. And you. I'm glad y'all put your hands up. We're going to be there if we got Jesus in our heart, right? Glory to God. Well, I've heard that St. Peter's going to be there. And there was a guy trying to get in just the other day, and he was interviewing him, but the guy hadn't done a thing all his life on earth. And St. Peter said, I don't know if I'm going to let you in. He said, tell me one good thing you've done to get into heaven. And the guy thinks, he said, well, said, just I rescued a lady that was being robbed. Said, I went up, this gang was robbing her, and I yelled, get out of here! Said, they didn't move. So he went up and he slugged the leader. I mean, punched him and knocked him out. And then he said, I turned to the rest of them and said, anybody else want a piece of me? Peter said, wow, that really is good. When did that happen? He said, about 2 minutes ago. So when you leave the church today, go out and do a good deed and you can be in heaven in a couple of minutes. We all want to go to heaven someday, don't you? I know it's going to be more than we can ever imagine. I want to use the term today a little differently. I'm going to talk about the hope of heaven and Jesus being the way to heaven. But I'm going to use a term today called an open heaven. Do you know when you've made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, it begins a relationship and a journey with Him? And we can experience an open heaven. We can communicate with God through Christ and God through us, to us through Christ. We can fellowship with the Lord. We can get to know the Lord. We can talk to the Lord. And He can talk to us and we can hear the Lord. So I want you to get this term down, open heaven. We can experience an open heaven as we walk with Jesus Christ. And that's the good news, part of the good news of the gospel. And I'm going to give you a little illustration from the New Testament, and then I'm going to use Jacob as our illustration for the entire message. But when Jesus called Nathanael, and we'll read in John 1:43, quite a few verses. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, now this is amazing, I think. Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Another translation says guile. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel, Jesus said. You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. Watch this. You will see greater things than that. He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus is the way to heaven for eternity. And Jesus is the way of experiencing an open heaven or open communication with God on a daily basis. And when we see just a little illustration here, here comes a man in whom there's no deceit or guile. It literally means somebody that doesn't have any hooks. in them, somebody that's not deceptive. In other words, Nathanael had a good heart, an open heart, a transparent heart, a sincere heart. God wants to show himself to Nathanaels. And aren't you glad, and I'm going to touch on this a time or two through this message, even if you're not Nathanael, Jesus will show himself to you this morning. You may not know Christ at all this morning. Jesus is here to reveal himself to you. I believe that with all my heart. So through the day now, I'm going to use Jacob to look at a process the Holy Spirit walks us all through as we walk with the Lord. Now, how many remember Jacob? Most of us that have read the Bible, most of us in here. His name means deceiver, or he deceives. And it's a picture of a type of flesh. I know that the devil can get in the way of some things, but if we have Jesus Christ as Savior, the devil's already being defeated. Would you agree with that? Not that he won't fight against us. But you hear me say this from time to time. I have to wake up with Dale every day. In my flesh. That's why I try to at least say a short prayer before I get out of bed to at least acknowledge the Lord as Lord of my life. Before Dale gets control of his life. We want Jesus to be in control of our life, don't we? So what hinders my communication with God? Say it with me, flesh. When the flesh gets in the way, it hinders our communication with God. Jesus died on the cross at Calvary so that our sins could be forgiven and we could spend eternity in heaven. But he also, and I know I'm repeating myself, I'm doing it on purpose. He also died at Calvary, went to the tomb, rose on the third day so that I can have open communication with Almighty God. So let's look at a few things. Number one, to experience an open heaven, we need a new set of faculties. We need a sensitivity to the things of God. Now, aren't you glad that we have this? Right here is an open heaven. God's Word, and we're thankful for it. John 3:3, Jesus was speaking of new faculties when he said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." When you've asked Christ to come into your heart and had a born-again experience, you begin to see things spiritually that you never saw before. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit." So again, you have to, by God's Spirit and by the Lord's grace, we have to have a new set of spiritual eyes or a new set of spiritual ears. The carnal ear or the carnal eye does not see nor can understand the things of God. Aren't you glad the Lord will do that for us? So let's look when Jacob basically began his journey. And if you have your Bibles or your phones or your tablets, and you'll turn to Genesis 28:10, we're going to read about 12 verses. And I'm just going to read it to you. And some of y'all may remember this. Some call it Jacob's ladder in children's Sunday school. The angels were ascending and descending. Now, we're going to see here that Jacob is on the run. He's stolen Esau's blessing, and Esau is upset. His brother is so angry, he's going to kill him. And you can read all of that. So Jacob takes off as a young man. He's getting out of Dodge. He's getting out of town. And on the way on his journey, which would turn into a 20-year journey away from home. That's a big deal. We pick up here in verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. How many like to have a rock for a pillow? That's what he was doing. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it, which is what that picture illustrates. Now, he's on the run. He's also been very deceptive, but he's running because he's going to get murdered. And God shows up. I still want to reiterate, God will sovereignly show up and show himself to you. He will do that. And he did it here. Verse 13. There above it stood the Lord. I'm the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Now that seems almost like an impossibility, because he's leaving the land. And God shows up supernaturally in a dream and begins to bless Jacob, or tell him what his blessing will eventually be. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you, says the Lord, and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I promised you. God gives promises, but sometimes they take a long time to be fulfilled. If God has given you a promise this morning, don't give up on God, because he always does what he says he'll do. Jesus will always do what he says he'll do. He keeps his word. He keeps his promises. Verse 16. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, which, by the way, in the original language means house of God, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, now make sure you hear this, and I'm almost through reading. Jacob has had an encounter with God. God shows up and he's not even sure God's there. But it dawns on him he's had a tangible encounter with God. And then Jacob makes a vow after God made his promise. And Jacob said this, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking, and if God will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then God will be my God. And this stone that I've set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all that you give me, God, I will give you a tenth. At best, this pictures a beginning relationship with the Lord. Lord, if you do this for me, I'll serve you. If you'll provide for me, I'll serve you. If you'll answer this prayer, you know, maybe I'll serve you. It's just where he's at. It's all he's got to give God right now. It speaks of where Jacob, the deceiver, is in his commitment. Folks, we got to grow way beyond, if you do this for me, Lord, I will. We need to say, I will first. If you take care of me, I'll give you a tenth of all that you give me. Well, boy, Jacob, that's real generous. You can have 10% of my heart, Lord. When Jesus was being asked by the Pharisees what was the greatest commandment, Jesus said this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. How much did he say? Say 100%. How much of your heart does the Lord have this morning? 10%? 50%? 100%? You'll know by your commitment to him. Where is your commitment? Jacob was pretty deceived, because I think he thought he was doing God a favor by giving him 10%. He's still walking in his deception, and God is still operating in his grace. I want to go beyond F with Jesus, don't you? I know that you do. Aren't you glad God the Father sent Jesus to open heaven so that we would have an opportunity to be saved? Jesus is the gate. John 10:9, Jesus said, I'm the gate. For some of you this morning, you may have never walked through the gate. You might even be saying, who is Jesus? Who is this Savior? Let me tell you who Jesus is this morning. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, every one of us. And we know it really too, don't we? I mean, I thank God for what the Spirit shows us, but we know it, don't we? That we have fallen short of the glory of God. And the Scripture says the wages of sin is death forever. But the gift of God is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gift of salvation. Jesus is the gate. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know, that's before salvation and that's after salvation, because we're not perfect. We're being perfected. And I practice confession all the time because I make mistakes quite often. How about you? Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the gate. When you invite Him in, He will become Lord and Savior. In 2 weeks, we're going to talk about Lordship in Jesus University. It's a pretty heavy message. You probably want to be here. But if we'll invite Him in, He will become Lord and Savior of our life. What does that mean? It means if we've sinned, He'll take away the sin. If we've sinned against, He will forgive our sins. He will cleanse our sins. He will throw the sins and the sins that hold us and bind us and hurt us and maim us and wound us. That's why I think God hates sin. He loves a sinner. He hates a sin because sin hurts people, and Jesus loves people and Jesus loves you. But through His shed blood at Calvary, He washes our sins away. He's the gateway to forgiveness. He's the gateway to salvation. He went into a tomb, and I know it's not Easter. In fact, it's almost Christmas. But on the third day, He rose from the dead. And if we live in Him, we rise with Him. Jesus is the gate. He's the way to every issue in your life. Solve every problem in your world. Jesus is the gateway. God made a way through His Son, Jesus Christ. Man. And we can walk through the gate on a daily basis. And some of you may need to walk through the gate for the first time this morning. Do you want to know Him? Do you desire to know the salvation I talked about this morning? Do you desire, Christian man, Christian woman, do you desire to walk with an open heaven and the angels ascending and descending and God communicating with you and you with Him? Hello? Well, if that's you, you're probably going to wrestle with God every now and then. It's number two. Number one, you've got to have a new set of spiritual faculties. Number two, look, it just doesn't happen out there in space. Things start happening in here and in here and in life that we have to work out in Christ. Not work out our salvation, but work out what God's doing in our life. You will wrestle with God. For Jacob, it was a 20-year off and on wrestling match. And we don't have time. If you haven't done it in a while, go read the Scripture. Jacob continued to deceive. He had a little bit of the Lord and not so much of the Lord. And he lied and he cheated and he manipulated. And yet God stayed with him. But God was constantly at work in Jacob over that 20-year period away from home. He would find wives and children, and he would be very wealthy, just to put in our terms, over that 20-year period. But Jacob's life would be dealt with through crisis. And so I want to pick up when he finally gets a release to go back home 20 years later. And he's guess what his biggest fear is? He's going to have to see Esau. The brother he's running from, he's had no contact with, for over 20 years. And Jacob's been struggling, becoming a better man, but struggling for 20 years. And the night before he would see his brother. And now I picture this. It's hard to picture. But Jacob's coming back with all his family, all his kids, aunts and uncles, all the livestock. I mean, he's got a caravan. And he's coming back home. Have you ever been away from home for 20 years? I know that even when I'm traveling, doing some of the stuff I do, I can't wait to get home. My beautiful wife's there. My kids are there. That chair on the back porch and that table where coffee sits is at home. There's no place like home. Come on now. Jacob hadn't been home in 20 years. He hadn't seen the aunts and uncles' family. So he's headed back. And he's just a little bit away. And we pick up this famous night in verse 22 of chapter 32 of Genesis. That night Jacob got up. And he's already talked to Esau. They're supposed to hook up. They're supposed to hook up. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him to daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, the thigh, so that his hip was wrenched. And he wrestled with the man, meaning he continued to wrestle with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it's daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name, Jacob?" "What is your name, deceiver?" That's what he said. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel," and here's what Israel would mean, "because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. He touched him, church. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It's because I saw God face to face," and that's what Peniel means, face of God, "yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip." Another name again for that is thigh. Jacob the deceiver is wrestling with Almighty God. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit, as we walk with Christ, wants to bring us to a greater knowledge of God on a daily basis. But in order for us to have a greater open heaven and a greater communication with God, we're going to have to wrestle with God. Because there's things inside of us that have to go before the heaven opens. And let me say this. This was an all-night wrestling match. It had been a 20-year bout. But now this 20-year bout culminates in an all-nighter. Anybody ever wrestled all night? Hey. No, I tell you what. We used to wrestle in high school. It wasn't official. It was we built our own little ring and anything went. I mean headlock, pulling teeth. It did not matter. If you didn't like getting hurt, you didn't wrestle. And the only way you could win is till you made the other one give up. It was brutal, bloody, bruising, bone breaking. And we would do tag team wrestling. So you had to make both guys give up. I mean, it was, ooh. A lot of guys quit wrestling with us because they didn't want to get hurt. Listen, everybody got hurt. It didn't matter who won. But it only lasted about 20, 30 minutes. Can you imagine wrestling all night? Can you imagine walking all night? Can you imagine walking all night? Could you walk for 30 minutes? This was intense. This was long. What was going on inside of Jacob was this. Help me, Jesus. Because, Lord, for 20 years, I made a little bit of commitment to you 20 years ago. If you would help me, I would serve you. Well, Lord, you've sure been good to me, but I'm sure not who I need to be yet. I'm still Jacob. I'm still flesh. I still am deceiver. There's things in me you've dealt with me about, Lord, over and over and over for 20 years, and they're still in here, and they're still in here. Help me, Jesus. And Jesus, and I'm trying to speak for Jacob, I'm tired of being Jacob. I'm tired of living in this secret bondage. I'm tired of something have a control of me called the wicked flesh versus my God who stuck with me. There's these little habits called sin, these little quirks, this lack of commitment, this deception. Jesus, I'm tired of not having more of you in my life. I do good for a while, and then I don't do so good. Well, and I know I'm only 10% committed. But leave Jacob said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm on the way back home. And I don't want to be the same Jacob I was when I left. I need to be made brand new. And God says, let go. And Jacob says, I will not let go until you bless me. God, I will not let go until you change my heart. That's a wrestling match, church. When something's wrong on the inside and you haven't overcome it yet, which is what Israel means, overcome with men and God, wrestled with men and God and overcome. Church, I'm going to tell you, don't let go until you get the victory. Don't give up on God till He gives you the victory. Don't settle for 8 weeks good, 1 week bad. 8 weeks good, 1 week bad. Same old habit, same old thing. Get shut in with God. Walk with God. Maybe if you do go 8 weeks and you fall back into the same old attitude, same old negativity, same old mindset, get right back up and say, Jesus, there is no other way. There is no other name. You're the name above all names. I used to live in the world. I can't go back in the world and live that way because sin was destroying me. I see this thing or thing inside of me, but God, Jesus, I will not let go of you until you change me. Go ahead. And that's real life wrestling. It's easier to have a broken nose than... And God will touch you eventually. And you'll no longer be Jacob, you'll be Israel. You'll no longer be deceiver, you'll be an overcomer. Because you've struggled with God and overcome. You've had a change in heart, not just a change in how you behave. Because see, if you have a change of heart, you'll behave the way you need to behave. It's an inside-out deal. And can I tell you something? And it'd be easy for me to get bogged down here. These Waterloos with the Lord usually come through crisis. There's a pressure that will come from within or without that will cause you to press into the Lord. Now, can I tell you, there's always grace in a crisis. The Holy Spirit doesn't go anywhere in a crisis. In fact, He's led you into the crisis a big part of the time because you love the Lord and you want to work, live for God and you want an open heaven. But in that crisis, God will, He'll do something in your heart where you'll never be the same again. He may even hurt your heart so that He can reveal more of Himself. And you can walk in victory and not defeat. He'll smite you. Now listen, let me say something, and I'm going to show you a short video. The crisis has no power in and of itself, because in the crisis, people either push into Christ or default away from Christ. They push into the grace or they default to the flesh, and sometimes really go down the tubes. There is no power in the crisis itself. The power is in the cross, and the power is in the grace of Jesus Christ in the midst of the crisis. Let me show you a little video here. It's about 1 minute and 3 seconds when a caterpillar turns to a butterfly. And then I'm going to read something while we watch. There's the caterpillar. Kind of favors, no. And it's a fast version, you'll see. And say, Christian, are you presently in a God-designed cocoon of suffering? Unaware to others, are you in wise God's simulated conditions resembling a stifling cocoon? Remember, He is transforming you from an ugly caterpillar into a beautiful butterfly. Hang on! For coming out of the cocoon before God's appointed time would result in serious underdevelopment of your wings. It is indeed a zoological fact that if anyone helps a struggling butterfly when emerging from the narrow hole in its cocoon by opening up that cocoon, he would do more harm than good to the beautiful creature. Its struggle has been designed by the all-wise God in order for its body fluids to go to its wings in this painful process so that they develop perfectly. Do you wonder if the Lord doesn't work in us the same way? Do you wonder if maybe that describes the wrestling match that's going on inside of some of us today? Sometimes some of y'all have gone back into your cocoon. Don't do that. God's making something beautiful out of your life. He's making something beautiful out of your heart. It's ugly right now. Confining. And you could think of more words than me, probably. But the Lord's at work in a mighty way. Hold on to God and don't let go. You'll see ultimately number 3. All of my heart must belong to God. When you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ so that you could have eternal heaven, you asked Him to be Savior. What you might have not realized is He had to be Lord as well. That although grace was freely received, once you receive free grace, you serve a great God the rest of your life. I said you serve a great God the rest of your life. You're no longer number one. He's number one. And that's when He begins to work. So we walk with Him. The Lord wants 100% from us. That's what Jesus said. Because the blessing of a poured out life, 100%, is an open heaven. Don't you want an open heaven over your life this morning? Then I'm not talking about your salvation, but a little bit of it then has to do with your commitment or not. Well, Jacob, instead of going to meet Esau, guess where he goes? Genesis 35:1. Then God said to Jacob, look, after 20 years, go up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau. Israel, go back to where it all began. I wish I had time. I've been saved a long time now, but it always comes back to where it all began, experiencing the grace of Jesus Christ. There's no greater thing than salvation. So God takes him back to Bethel. You know why? It wasn't just the house of God. It was going to be his home. And then we read of an experience in verse 11 of the same chapter, chapter 35:11. Genesis 35:11. And God said to him, now this is after he goes back. And God just said to him, now he's having a revelation again. I am God Almighty. Be fruitful, increase in number. He has, but God's still blessing him. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you. Then God went up from him at that place where he talked with him. Watch. Almost the same. Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him, and he poured out a drink offering on it, and he also poured oil on it. Jacob called the place where God had talked to him Bethel. There's something a little bit different than the first encounter Jacob had with God there. He poured a drink offering. A drink offering is symbolic. It's a picture of a life poured out 100% to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, 20 years before, Jacob said, I'll give you 10%. But now, after 20 years, he said, God, you've been so good to me. All I have is yours. All that I ever will be is because, Lord, I'm not going to pull back in my commitments at my old age. And I'm not talking about anybody here, but I've seen a lot of people, as they even get my age, pull away from their commitments when we ought to be running as, maybe not as fast, but more steady and more committed to God than we've ever been. We shouldn't be lessening our commitment as we get older. Our commitment should become greater after walking 20 and 30 and 40 years with God. Oh, you didn't say, Lord, and if. You didn't see him say if. And I know Jacob was still walking with a limp. I personally believe, and I don't have time to take you to the scriptures, but you can do the study yourself. I believe he walked with a limp to the end of his life, because at the end of his life, when he blessed his grandbabies, he was still leaning on a staff. But I'm sure the next day or evening, he was still walking with a limp. And I believe he would need a cane or a crutch the rest of his life. You know, when people tell me rarely, will you just use Jesus for a crutch? I say, I sure do. I was a sinner, and now I'm forgiven. I was unhealthy, now I'm healthy. I was bound, but now I'm free. It's all because of Jesus. Oh, my commitment wasn't near what I thought it was when I was a young whippersnapper, but God continued to be good with me, and I was just as deceptive and as ever. But boy, I wrestled with God, and I got tired of just being Jacob And I decided I'd get a hold of God with all my heart and not let go until He touched me. And I would forever limp and lean on the grace of Jesus Christ. Because what He did in me, I couldn't do in me. He did for me. I know what the Lord has done for me. And now I'm not holding on to anything else. Not just the tithe. All of me. And by the way, I've reached a place in my walk. I know 20 years ago when I was at Bethel, I was just passing by. Whoa. But now Bethel's going to be my home. I brought my family here, and as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Oh, I know when I was just passing through, but I've come to stay, Lord. My life has poured out. I've come to stay and to make Bethel. I've come to stay where I can walk in relationship with you. I've come to stay. I've come to make your presence my home. I've come to make your grace my home. I've come to make your spirit my home. I've come home, Lord. I've come home and I'm staying home. And this limp, this broken heart, even the area where you hurt me will always remind me of how good and how wonderful and how faithful you are. Hallelujah. Jesus is good. Don't get me excited. I haven't got excited yet. Worship team, if you'll come, we're going to celebrate communion.